create maximum disorder. Your enemy depends on being able to read you, to get some sense of your intentions. The goal of your maneuver should be to make that impossible, to send the enemy on a wild goose chase for meaningless information, to create ambiguity as to which way you are going to jump. The more you break down people's ability to reason about you, the more disorder you inject into their system. The disorder you create is controlled and purposeful, at least for you. The disorder the enemy suffers is debilitating and destructive. Historical example. On November 10th, 1799, Napoleon Bonaparte completed the coup d'etat that brought him to power as first consul, giving him near complete control of the French state. Now that Napoleon was leader, his most pressing need was peace, to give the country time to recoup and himself time to consolidate his power. But peace would not come easily. France had a bitter enemy in Austria, which had put two large armies in the field ready to move against Napoleon, one to the east of the Rhine and the other in northern Italy under General Michael Mela. The Austrians were clearly planning a major campaign. Waiting was too dangerous. Napoleon had to seize the initiative. He had to defeat at least one of these armies if he were to force Austria to negotiate peace on his terms. The one trump card he had was that several months earlier, a French army had gained control of Switzerland. There were also French troops in northern Italy, which Napoleon had taken from the Austrians several years earlier. To plan for the first real campaign under his direction, Napoleon holed himself up in his office for several days. His secretary, Louis de Bourrienne, would recall seeing him lying on giant maps of Germany, Switzerland, and Italy, laid out wall to wall on the floor. The desks were piled high with reconnaissance reports. On hundreds of note cards organized into boxes, Napoleon had calculated the Austrians' reactions to the feints he was planning. Muttering to himself on the floor, he mulled over every permutation of attack and counterattack. By the end of March 1800, Napoleon had emerged from his office with a plan for a campaign in northern Italy that went far beyond anything his lieutenants had ever seen before. In the middle of April, a French army under General Jean Moreau would cross the Rhine and push the Eastern Austrian army back into Bavaria. Then Napoleon would lead a 50,000-man force, already in place in Switzerland, into northern Italy through several different passes in the Alps. Moreau would then release one of his divisions to move south and follow Napoleon into Italy. Moreau's initial move into Bavaria and the subsequent scattered dispatch of divisions into Italy would confuse the Austrians as to Napoleon's intentions. And if the Austrian army at the Rhine was pushed east, it would be too distant to support the Austrian army in northern Italy.